Last month at the elders' meeting, the elders asked me if I would teach on tonight's topic. I would rather re-listen to Lisa's message from last week. I have been 5-R-ing all week. Replevin is one of my favorite words, and it is time for the Lord to replevin everything the enemy has stolen from you, especially this month. So this evening, I'm going to talk about Adar 5781 and what is first fruits. Because many of you are new and many of you are on the web are saying, what is this first fruit stuff? Why do you guys celebrate this stuff? Thank you, sir. I won't stop that because there's a prophetic flow coming out of it, but I don't want to wear them out either. Adar 5781 started last night at sundown, and it will go until sundown Saturday, March 13th. So we'll talk about another month then. Adar is the 12th month in the cycle of appointed times, Moed, or biblical feasts. So we know them as biblical feasts, but the Lord appointed these times in the Bible for us to meet with him. Ladies, stop listening. Men, he said, these three Moeds, these three times the men shall meet with me, and you can bring your wives and kids. Now, because they had to bring their wives and kids, they had to tell Pharaoh, we're not going till you let us all go. But he was speaking to the men. So it's time for us to stand up and to start to worship the Lord and to honor. If we want to move into the fullness of what he's bringing, it's going to take every man, every woman, and every child, every son and daughter of God to begin to worship him together. Adar is therefore the last month, the 12th month, in the yearly cycle that was established by God when he brought Israel out of Egypt so that they could enter into his promise. Now, it's not the original calendar that he set up. We'll get into that some other time. But he established this biblical cycle of feast beginning with the month of Aviv and ending with the month that we are in now, Adar. So at sunset tonight, we entered into Adar 2 of 5787. You may say it is February 13th of 2021, but in Father's heart, he knows what time it is. So we have to be bi-calendar. You can be multi-calendared if you want, but you should know his and you should know the one our country runs by. This makes Adar a time to turn your fear into laughter. Many people get very fretful or frightened at the end of a yearly cycle. Adar is a time to turn. The Hebrew word for repent literally means to turn and to walk another way. It's a time to turn and be released from all the bitterness that's trying to keep you in bondage to the last season. How many of you are still in bondage to November? Yeah, some of you said yes. How many of you are in bondage to January 20th? Some of you said yes. I got news for you. It doesn't matter because God's not done yet. Every time someone calls me, I said, do you see the United States of America filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the power of the Holy Spirit? I don't see any heads shaking yes. That means Father's not done with the United States yet. Because we will be one of the sheep nations. And that means we will move in righteousness, peace, and joy under the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not up to those who don't know Jesus. I loved what Freddie was singing tonight because it's all about us yielding our heart to him so he can touch them through us. That's where the harvest is coming from. It's not coming from Bible thumpers. How many of you know what a Bible thumper is? Casey, when we first got filled with the Holy Spirit back in the early 80s, she would tell people I had to have a healing ministry because I hit them with my Bible so hard they need to be healed. It's going to be the authority of his grace coming out of your voices that touches the hardened places of their hearts and unlocks the door for Holy Spirit to come in and bring the harvest to the Father. So let's take a minute and do this right now so we can get released from the bitterness. So I'm going to pray over you. Father, I repent for not placing my trust in you to honor your word to me, to our family, to your bride, and to the nations of the earth. I renounce doubt, unbelief, grumbling, and complaining as sin against you. And I break their holds off of my heart and my soul right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for setting me free to worship you. Fill me now with greater measures of faith and faithfulness unto you and for your greater glory. Amen. Now I'm free from that stuff. And every time it comes in, you can exercise Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's up to you to silence the enemy when he tries to whisper the bitterness and the things of the past against you. Don't call the elders, because that's what they're going to tell you to do. As soon as you do, you've torn the tongue out of the enemy. It's all he's got is a wagging tongue because of the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. I really believe the Bible. And you're going to hear why from in the beginning to amen in a couple minutes. Adar 5781 is the time to continue moving forward on the path to your destiny and to mature in your new identity. You are not the same person you were last week, last year, or when you were born. You can go back as far as you want, but he makes things new some mornings. Every morning, his mercy is new. And if you are not using your mercy account to pray for others, then you need to get in the Lord's face and ask him to give you a new heart for the harvest field. Because it's only going to be my mercy that they don't get consumed in the judgment that's coming. So as you move into your new identity, you will be able to speak with authority as you rule and reign with Christ in greater measures as a son or daughter of the Most High. That is your identity. I may be a chemist, I may be a teacher, I may have a whole bunch of titles, but I'm a son. And you are my brother or my sister, first and foremost. That is your most intimate relationship eternally with anybody, brother or sister, in the Lord. And as we talked about in the men's meeting on Thursday night, if I don't honor my bride as my sister in the Lord, I've already fallen short. And if she doesn't honor me as her brother in the Lord, she's already fallen short. 5781 and Adar is a time to pull out the root of bitterness and overtake despair and depression. It's interesting that on the eve of Adar is when Hope Deferred tried to take over Rob. I would be willing to say that it whispered to many of us this week, and I had to remind my soul to hope in the Lord. Have you ever had a conversation with your soul? David did. It's biblical, by the way. When they first came out with cell phones, you know, the get smart things that were about this big and had an antenna that came out of them, I was driving back from work in Tennessee in the middle of the day because I'd been there for like 30 hours. And I was just praying. And I heard this whisper, people are going to think you're crazy because your mouth is moving. And I said, shut up. And then immediately I heard, they don't even know if you're on a cell phone or not. And now you can't tell because everything's hands-free. But as soon as the accuser whispers to you, you have the authority in King James to say, shutteth thy mouth. So remember, the plan of the enemy is to wear down, wear out, and waste or decay your mind. Remember that your mind Hebraically and your heart Hebraically are here, and they form your conscience. And the enemy's trying to sear your conscience. He's trying to wear down your mind. In Daniel 7:25, the Amplified reads, and he will speak words against the Most High God and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the time of sacred feasts and holy days, that's what we're in right now, and the law, and the saints will be given into his hand for a time, two times, and a half time, 3 1/2 years. That word for wear down literally means to wear down or wear out or waste your mind. When I was a hippie, I had a wasted mind. No more. The Lord has redeemed it. Especially in Adar 5781, we must not judge. Now, biblically, the word discernment means to judge. We are to discern by the Spirit of the Lord what is right and what is evil. But I'm not to judge the people doing it. Do you understand that? This month, the enemy's going to try and pull us into a place of judging people. Don't fall into that snare. Discern what the Lord is saying. And if he doesn't tell you what to do when you see Sally Mae over there in some sin, if he doesn't tell you to go address it, just intercede. He's shown you that for a reason, so that someone might pray and she gets set free. If he tells you to go address it, then you better be sure you've heard of him. Because if you have and he's spoken to you, he's going to set her free through your voice. We must, rather than judging, speak forgiveness and command bitterness and depression and despair to go. You have the authority over your own life and over the lives of those people that you work with. Despair and discouragement are spirits. They like to hover. Because as they're hovering, Leviathan takes over. It's called chaos and confusion, thrashing and slashing. It's also called the nightly news. And people get so overwhelmed with the darkness, and all we have to do is command that thing to go. I don't have to be in their face. I don't have to shout. Go. By the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, I take authority over this atmosphere he's given to me. So right now you're in the atmosphere that he's given to all of us, but it's part of mine, and I enjoy what he's doing right now. I've enjoyed what he was doing during the worship time and at the end of the music practice. It's nice to get here early. You get to marinate in what he's doing. Adar is usually in the month of February or March on our Greco-Roman calendar. This is the time of the year when the giants on the path to your promise will try to stop your forward progress so you end your year in fear. Remember, this is the 12th month, and they want you to hit a wall so you can't enter into the new year, which starts in March, Hebraically. They want you to miss your appointed time, your moed with the Lord. Especially in this Pei Aleph year, Pei is the decade we're in the first year, 81 is Pei Aleph. Adar is a critical time to align with heaven and worship. You don't have to wait to Saturday night or Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Tuesday night. Our hearts should be a perpetual love song to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sometimes you don't want to hear where my voice is, but he likes it. Sometimes Kermit the Frog makes me sound good. See, when I worship, Holy Spirit can give me his war strategy against the Antichrist spirit. Have you seen the Antichrist spirit manifest in New York, in the states of the United States of America lately? That is not a person. That is a spirit that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's Lisa's message from last week. Be sure to guard your heart from idolatry this month. I don't have any idols. The ultimate idol Lucifer tries to get you to do is to exalt your own mind. We call this humanism. Well, that was a pretty good thought. I got to bring that thought captive to the King of Glory. Thank you, Father. I acknowledge that is a very good thought. Use it for whatever will bring you glory. Now it's a sanctified, very good thought. The enemy can't trip me up trying to give me a broken arm, patting myself on the back. Humanism is the most deceptively wicked form of idolatry that we will face, and that is the end time battle. That is the battle that's being stirred up in the media against the body of Christ right now, trying to get us to forsake the one we love and the foundations of his truth to embrace the lie that they are selling. They're trying to give it away, too. So submit to the Lord and hear him laughing at your enemies during the month of Adar, and then laugh out loud with him. Have you ever laughed out loud? Not because someone told you a joke, but because the Lord just laughed in the face of his enemies that are attacking you. You've got that same authority, according to Psalm 2, to laugh in derision over the spiritual enemies that are aligned against you. The Hebrew word Adar means fire. I would do something right now, but the sound man would shoot me. Do me a favor, as loud as you can, yell fire. Fire! You think I'm kidding? When you agree with Holy Spirit, you release the angels to do the things Father created them to do, and you got your angels standing there like this. It's been 2,000 years since we've had to do anything. Sure hope the bride wakes up soon. This is a month holy fire should be burning in each of our hearts. He put all of these secrets in his word for you and I to discover. Remember the proverb says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Are you a king? Yes. It's the glory of kings to search a matter out. That's what we're doing tonight. We're helping you search the matters out. This month, rekindle the fire in your heart for the presence of the Lord. Spend time lingering with him so he can reignite his flame in your heart. Many of us have a flame that if it was in yesterday's wind, might have done that. Because we don't tend the altar fire in our heart. He wants us to be altar keepers. Your heart is his altar. I had a friend, he's in his early 30s, call me and ask me a question. And I said, you got to remember, Isaac was 33 when Abraham went to sacrifice him. And Isaac helped his 133-year-old father put him on the altar. Isaac wasn't struggling. He was totally surrendered to the fire of the Lord. You'll see why in a minute. Start right now and remember the joy of the Lord is your strength, especially this month. This is a month for joy. So I want you to say right now, you can just say it, you don't have to shout it. My joy is coming. Oh, that was so much better. I thought maybe you were all asleep until I yelled fire. Adar is the Hebraic month that's aligned with the tribe of Naphtali. As you study Naphtali, you see Adar is a month associated with the sweetness to be. I went and bought garden seeds today. I am not going to grow frozen vegetables, but I bought sugar snap peas. That's the sweetness to be that will come out of my garden, and most of you eat it if we start traveling again, so... But this month is the month that's associated with the sweetness that is to come. It's the end of the winter season, especially in Israel, and it's the beginning of their spring. Align your heart with God's will and timing and see hope fulfilled become the tree of life in you. People, when they see you hopeful, will want to know what it is, and all you have to do is listen to what Holy Spirit says to tell them. It's not going to be pull out the little card and say, okay, in this situation, I do this. It's going to be Holy Spirit just whispering to you, tell them this. You know, that's where most personal prophecies come from. And he would that you all prophesied. Adar's Naphtali was the 12th son of Jacob. So he was the last son born of Jacob. The tribe of Naphtali is the last tribe to set out when the glory of the Lord broke camp and moved out ahead of Israel into the wilderness. So Naphtali was part, he was the last part of the rear guard tribes camping on the north side of the tabernacle. So your wars this month are going to be coming, especially if you believe snowstorms are wars. Watch out for the nor'easters, because the enemy is going to try and bring things from the past against you out of the north this year, which is usually witchcraft. I'm drifting. We have to guard our northern gates this month, and right now we are on the northern gate of the nation. We are a strategic portion of the Bride of Christ because Lake Ontario is the northern border of the United States. So you are a strategic watchman beyond the wall. Once again, guard your mouth against grumbling and complaining this month. See, the tribe of Naphtali didn't grumble and complain as meant much as some of the others. And if you study carefully that book of Numbers, you have to be a math major, I think, to study it well. Naphtali increased by 15% while they wandered in the wilderness because they didn't grumble and complain. And we should be increasing exponentially because we have the King of Glory in us. Adar is the time for every curse to be broken and for the robbing spirit of destruction to be broken off of your bloodline. That's how we end the Hebraic year, is breaking those things off. If you haven't been able to do that, get with someone that knows how to help you do that. Any of the elders, any of the deacons, any of the people sitting next to you that have been set free, ask them to help you. Father doesn't want you dragging those bloodline issues into the new year. Adar 13 is the fast of Esther. And Adar 14 and 15, which will be February 26th and 27th this year, is Purim, which speaks of deliverance in your bloodline. By the way, Purim is a pay word. It's particularly important every year of this decade because Father is going to take us from freedom to freedom to freedom to freedom so that you are so free, the people around you get the overflow. Read the book of Esther this month so you can gain fresh prophetic revelation on what is happening in the earth today. What's happening right now in our nation is Haman is building his gallows higher and higher and higher. Do you remember Haman got hung on his own gallows? Watch for the shakings the Lord is bringing. This month of Adar is aligned with the Hebrew letter Kuf. It's the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet and has the numerical value of 100 in the Hebrew numbering system. Kuf is associated with growth and holiness. I'm signing up. I want to be more mature, and I want to be more holy as he is holy. This month, be sure to remove the masquerade you have been maintaining so you can enter into laughter. A mask always stops the flow of joy. So remove any mask you've been hiding behind so you can enter into true joy of who you are. Now, I am not politically correct. I am gospelly correct and scientifically oriented. Last Adar, 5780, we were forced to cover our faces in the month that the Lord says, be free. So you do what the Lord shows you to do, but allow laughter to come out of your face. I can see your faces. Your smiles are beautiful. Father can see your faces. But too many of us hide behind even that cloth or paper mask, and we refuse to be the ambassador of the kingdom he called us to be. Adar is a month for finding your supply and your identity in the spiritual realm. Adar is a time to renounce and break off worry and anxiety over your supply for the future. I got news for you. Replevin is on the way. This is a month where we can begin to walk in the abundance. Remember, the 5 hours were to abundant life. The abundance that Jesus died to give us. I don't have to fret and worry how I'm going to pay the bills. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. You're going to hear how in a few minutes. Ask the Lord to show you your hidden supply lines, which you cannot see. Faith comes by seeing everything lined up in my bank account. Not. It comes by hearing the word of God. Allow him to birth faith in you and show you those supply lines you can't see, especially over the next 60 days, which gets us through Passover and on the way to Pentecost. So I'm going to switch now, and we'll come back to Adar in a couple minutes. Many people have said, what is first fruits? So I'm going to talk about what is first fruits briefly. I could probably take 3 or 4 hours. The Greek and Hebrew words translated as first fruits occur 33 times in the Amplified Version of the Bible. Do you know Jesus was 33 years old? 33 times. In a minute, you're going to hear the Bible say that Jesus is our first fruits. I don't think the Lord does anything coincidentally. To understand the significance of first fruits, we must first gain a biblical understanding of Father's perspective of first. It's not who wins the Super Bowl. It's not who crosses the finish line and breaks the tape with their chest. Ron and I used to run track. I'm glad they let go of the tape when you get to the finish line after running a mile. Because it hurts when you fall. Well, now the tracks aren't even gravel anymore. They take all the fun out of falling. So we'll begin with the Greek word first. We're starting with the end in mind instead of the beginning. The first time the Greek word for first is used in Scripture comes out of the mouth of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. You see it. Is that you, Lord? I know it's not my phone. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 in the New American Standard says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your offering before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. The Greek word that's used here is used 132 times in the New American Standard Bible, New Testament. 132 times. I think Father wants us to know what first is. Or you can do a whole bunch of math around 132. The Greek word is protos. It means foremost. Foremost in time, foremost in place, foremost in order, and foremost in importance. It also means before, beginning, best, chief, first, or first of all. Jesus is also the one speaking the very last time protos is used in Scripture. We see that in Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So protos, every time it's used in Greek, is speaking of the chief importance of being first. Now let's look at the concept in Hebrew. You may remember me speaking on this a couple years ago. In Hebrew, the first two words in the Torah are Reshith Elohim. Reshith means the first, in place, time, order, or rank. Specifically, a first fruit, the beginning, the chief, the first, the principal thing. The very first word in the Bible that we read as in the beginning means it's the most important thing to God, and everything else in Scripture hinges on that. And at the end of Scripture, Jesus is used by Holy Spirit in the Greek to say the exact same word, protos, reshith. The second word is Elohim, meaning gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically when it's used in the plural form as it is in Genesis 1, It speaks of the supreme God, Father, Spirit, Son. In other words, the words that we read and have memorized as in the beginning, God, literally means first in place, time, order, or rank, God, Father, Spirit, Son. Everything flows out of that in the Word. And as we sang, He never changes. All giving and all honor flow out of the understanding of who God is. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because He is our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. He is our foundation is in Him, therefore the authority of His word in our mouths is part of the creative grace in the earth today. You have creative grace in your mouth when you speak His word from your heart. That's why the Hebrews are such a blessed people. The Israelites are such a blessed people because they train their kids from youth. Most Hebrew kids know more scripture by memory than you and I put together probably, because they have to memorize so much before they turn 13. And you know what? When they speak it, the angels pay attention. When you speak it, the angels pay attention. Because of who He is from Genesis to Revelation, every first is important to God. So with this perspective, we're going to take a few minutes to look at what the Bible tells us about first fruits and hopefully begin to understand why we celebrate first fruits every month. Now, the sons of Israel understood every month is a new prophetic season. Last night at sunset, we entered into a new prophetic season. When we practice Rosh Kodesh, which means the head of the month, we also can call it first fruits, but we're going to see exactly when first fruits is in a minute. We are able to redeem time every month. If we remember Valerie's message from 3 weeks ago, she talked about redeeming things. We can redeem time every month. I may have fallen short in Shabbat, which ended yesterday, but I have the opportunity now to redeem that time in Adar. I don't have to wait until December 31st and hope that 365 days will all come into order. Isn't His mercy good? Yes. When we practice Rosh Kodesh, the head of the month, we can redeem time every month. When we enter into each month honoring God with our best, He releases His blessings over the rest of our month. So I'm going to bring Him my best. When do you think the concept of first fruits was first honored in Scripture? Let me ask the question another way. When God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, the place of His delight, the Garden of Eden, do you think He talked with Adam and Eve about how to worship and honor Him? Wouldn't a loving father show his kids how to honor Him? Wouldn't a loving mother show her kids how to honor her? I believe Father taught them how to bring offerings of honor, how to bring sacrifices of praise and worship. How else would Cain and Abel know how to bring offerings to God? In the Amplified Version of Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we read, "And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offering, but Cain and for his offering He had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed." In the Hebrew, here's what Cain brought: his mincha, a donation, a tribute. Specifically, a sacrificial offering which was usually bloodless and voluntary, a gift or a present. Cain, in his routine, brought his bloodless gift to the Lord. See, routine is a fruit of the religious spirit and causes us to fall short of giving God our best. Have you ever sung I Surrender All? Did you really? Did you hold out just a little, just in case? How do we overcome the enemy? Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony when we do not love our life even to death. When I bring the Lord a bloodless offering, I'm moving in religion. That's what Cain brought. He brought the routine. I believe the Lord showed Adam and Eve everything that we have in the Bible. After all, he is our daddy. Back a few generations. In Hebrew, Abel brought this. He brought his bekor, his firstborn, or the chief thing in his life. The word comes from the Hebrew root word from which we get the words first fruits of the crop, the first ripe fruit, the hasty fruit, the firstborn of man or beast, the eldest son, the eldest daughter, or birthright. Cain brought the most precious possession he had, his first fruits. What is the first mention of the word first fruits in Scripture? It was part of Jacob's blessing over his sons. In Genesis 49, verse 3, in the Revised Standard Version, it reads, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in pride and preeminent in power. The Hebrew word that's used here the first time translated as first fruits, there's several, is reshith, the same word that's used in Genesis 1:1. The most important thing to the Father is the first. In Genesis 1:14 through 15, in the New American Standard, we read, on the fourth day, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. The first four cycles of time God gave you and I are the day, the week, the month, and the year. In Hebrew culture, every month is thought to be a new prophetic season. At the rising of the new moon last night, and it was clear, you could see it. Not usually in Rochester, but last night it was cold enough that it was clear. It was too cold to snow, thank God. At the rising of that new moon, every month, it's a prophetic revelation of a new season. And at the rising of the new moon, it's a prophetic picture of Yeshua rising out of the darkness of death to bring you and I the light of life. Every month, 12 times a year and every leap year, they have a Dar 2, that's not this year, they get to have a 13th month. The Bible calls for a celebration to be held on every Rosh Kodesh, the head of every month. That's last night. For us, it's tonight. When we enter into that celebration, we enter into the blessings of that month. The blessings of Adar are happiness and joy. How many of you want a little more joy? How many of you want a little more happiness? How many of you want a little more prosperity in your future? Those are the things I talked about at the beginning. In Exodus 22:29 and 23:19, many translations of the Bible, this is the first places where we read about bringing a first fruit offering to the Lord. Exodus 23:19 in the New American Standard reads, you shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. Now, they were an agrarian society. Bear with me. Do you know what an agrarian society is? They were farmers. They were sheep herders. Okay? So were I. Thank you. Deuteronomy 12:11. And the Amplified. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name and his presence to dwell there. And it shall And to it you shall bring all I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and what the hand presents as a first gift from the fruits of the ground, and you all your choicest offerings which you vow to the Lord. Did you know that the Lord gave a name to Resurrection Day 1,500 years before Jesus died? And it wasn't Easter. That is a pagan name. You'll never hear me using that word to acknowledge Resurrection Day. Why? Because somewhere in the Bible, I can give you chapter and verse, it says don't mention the name of their foreign gods. Whoops. How many times do we mention the name of idols? He said, Kadesh, be separated, come apart and be holy as I am holy. We can do that, but it's a choice. I have a lot to learn. Almost 1,500 years before Jesus was born, God gave us a prophetic picture of his victory over every force of darkness, including the fear of death. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but many of us are afraid of dying. I had a temporary employee when I worked at a large company that no longer is large. Oh, you know who that is? And one of my employees, I was one of those managers that walked around five times a day. I had many places. I walked 220 flights of stairs, steps five times a day. Just so I could be available for people to ask me questions. Yes, it made my days long, but it made my cardiovascular system strong. And one day I was in an area, and one of the guys asked a question, and I answered it. And then one of the guys said, what about this? And he asked a question. He wasn't saved, but he asked a question about something I believed in. And this temporary employee who only worked one more day, and then he quit. He was the son of a Vietnamese ambassador, said, what if I do this? And I said, I'd be promoted. I said, you can't kill me. Because the instant I stop breathing, I'm eternally in his presence. And your father, the devil, doesn't want me there. Are you afraid of death? It's just an extension of today into eternity. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not through the valley of death, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For he first has gone before me, and he's around me and covers me. When he decides I am to breathe my last, I'm in his presence. It doesn't matter how someone expires on the earth. Auto accident, falling out of an airplane, doesn't matter. It's when you breathe your last, Father's taking you home. That's why we need to gain the harvest, because too many people are waiting too long. So, next month, I will talk about Passover. But tonight, we're going to focus on 3 days after the blood of the Lamb was shed for you and me. We celebrate the shedding of the blood of the Lamb every time we take communion. Right after the Lord instructed Moses and Aaron how to celebrate Shabbat, the Sabbath, and Passover, he teaches them how to celebrate first fruits. Do you think if the Bible teaches us something, it's important to God? Yeah. Thank you. This is a long one, amplified version of Leviticus 23, 9 through 14. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, when you have come into the land I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so you may be accepted. On the day, the next day after the Sabbath, that's Sunday for you and me, because Shabbat was sundown Friday to sundown tonight in the Hebrew calendar. And the priest shall wave it before the Lord. You shall offer on the day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb a year old without blemish for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its cereal offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet, pleasing, and satisfying fragrance. And the drink offering of it to be poured out shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. Father knows how he wants his sacrifices. You go to a restaurant and order something, Father says, this is the way you're going to bring me a sacrifice of praise. Yeah. You shall neither eat bread nor parched grain nor green ears until the same day when you have brought the offering to your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your houses. By the way, the first grain to ripen in Israel around the time of Passover is barley. It's the common man's bread. If you do a study of barley through Scripture, it's really amazing. It was a barley loaf that was the dream rolling down the hill for Gideon, saying the common people will defeat the enemy. It was a loaf of barley bread that was in the five loaves and two fish that the little boy had. Read the Bible carefully. There's a whole bunch of sweetness there for you to discover. The Lord says, you will do these signs and wonders. What did Jesus do as soon as he took that common man's bread? He broke it and multiplied it and had a miracle over nature, and he's waiting for you and I to do the same thing. So it was the barley first fruits that they waved on the Sunday after Passover. Jesus was nailed to the cross, buried, and on Sunday morning, remember, they hurried to go get him buried on Friday so that they could celebrate Shabbat. On Sunday morning, when the light came up, they went out, but he was gone. On first fruits, Jesus rose victoriously from the grave for you and I. When talking about the end times in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Paul tells us, but the fact is, Christ the Messiah has been raised from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So way back in Genesis 1:1 and way back in Genesis 4, when the Lord started teaching us about first fruits, he was telling us how to honor the one who would give his life and be the first fruits from the dead for you and me. We celebrate first fruits because we celebrate God's plan and destiny for our lives. It takes faith to honor God with the tithe. I just grew some corn. I got 10 ears. I give one to God, a tenth. It takes faith to do that because in my garden, the raccoons probably got all the rest of it. It takes faith to honor God with the tithe. When our children were little, I got paid on the last Friday of every month. Do you know that when there's five weekends, we have prayer, praise, and worship? That meant that there was an extra week, a fifth week, when I called it crackers and peanut butter weeks. That was when my kids got their allowance. They got stickers, varying sizes for different things of the chores they did, and then I would buy the sticker chart from them. And so whatever it added up to, I would give them their allowance from it. And when they were really little, it may have been a dime or it may have been a dollar, but I gave them 10 dimes. And they would count them out, and I said, how does the Bible tell us to bring our offerings? Well, we have to give him one out of every 10. Now, these kids are 6 and 4. So they count them out. This is God's. They count them out. This is God's. They count them out. This is God's. We also taught them to save. We taught them the principle of living on 70%. Some days they did real good. Some days the thing in the store burned a hole in their pocket. But they put their savings away. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I was not taught this growing up, folks. Holy Spirit took Casey and I to the school of the Spirit. We were brought up in a denomination that you pledged what you're going to give all year. Well, when we got filled with the Holy Spirit, even before we got filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord started showing us in the Word about the principle of tithing, and we did. It takes faith to honor God with a tenth. It takes great faith to honor him at his word and first fruits. First fruits means you give him the best. You don't know if blight and mildew is going to ripe out the rest of the crop, whether you even get to a place of a tithe. You give him your best, trusting him to honor his word and bless the rest. I'm not going to go there, but in 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 16, Elijah meeting with the widow of Zarephath was really a first fruit celebration. She and her son were about to die. She was going to mix up a little bit of bread, mix her flour and water, make a little bit of bread, eat her cake and die. And Elijah said, woman, now God had sent him to Zarephath specifically to her. He said, first, make me a cake. Well, the audacity. I've got just enough for my little boy and me, and then we're going to die. He said, make me a cake, and then you'll... All through the famine, she never had lack. God blessed the rest of everything for all the years of the famine because she was obedient to give the first and the best. When Jess went to grad school, she's got a PhD in nursing anesthetics, she had to give up her job because she was in class 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. None of the nurses could work. She had to pay her mortgage. She had to pay her auto support. She had to pay all of her bills. She had to pay all of her tuition. She had to pay all of her books and fees. She had to pay everything. I didn't know this at the time. She's got greater faith than I do. One day, my son called me about two-thirds of the way into her graduate studies, and he said, Dad, where's Jess getting all these money? She's sending these huge tithe checks to church. And I said, I don't know, ask her. She had no job. She said, Daddy, I figured out what a tithe of what I needed to live on for those 3 months of the semester was, and I added it to the loan. I don't recommend that, folks. But that's what he told her. She's a little prophetic. That's what he told her to do. She sent us a prophecy today. It was beautiful. She said, I know he's going to bless my career because I honored him during my study years. She had almost $250,000 in debt when she left school, and it was paid in 3 years. Don't ask me how God does it. He honors his word to those who have faith to honor his word. Casey and I have been practicing the principle of first fruits since July of 1984. I only had limited vacation back then. We were living in Tennessee, so we came up here. I spent 2 weeks and then drove back down. Or did I fly down? I can't remember. And Casey and the kids stayed up here for another 3 weeks and spent time with all of our extended family. And at that time, the Lord had been dealing with me about moving into first fruits. And I went out to the garden and I picked 15 pounds of beans off of our plants. And I said, oh, wow. I said, where do these go, Lord? Now, the Bible says exactly where they go. He said, take them to the apostle. Well, in our church, they didn't believe in that stuff. So I took them to the senior pastor because that's basically what he was. I come walking in with 2 7.5-pound bags of beans. He said, what are those for? And I said, they're my first fruits. He said, they're your what? I said, they're my first fruits offering. I'm supposed to bring them to you. He said, well, there's two families in the church where the men are unemployed. I want you to give them to them. So I gave them to them. We picked 165 more pounds of beans off of those plants. I don't know how God does this stuff. But every time we've honored him with first fruits, he has multiplied back what was there. We gave first fruits one time. He said, I want you to give first fruits. This is up here. I want you to give first fruits to help a widow out. So we told the pastor, we said, this is specifically to help her. She can do what she wants with it. If she decides to give it back to the church, you do what you want with it, but it's for you to give her. She doesn't know who gave it to her. It was $1,000. A year and a half later, I needed $6,000 on the morning of August 1st. And from overseas, someone called and put it in our bank account, said the Lord told him to. I don't know how he does these things. I can give you story after story of how we've chosen to honor him. Usually first fruits is what's left over in the month. It's the last bit that we have. It's the best of what I've got to start this month. Sometimes he's told us to put our first increase of a raise in to do whatever. When I retired in 2008, he told us to give 2 first fruits. I won't tell you how much they were, but they had a lot of zeros. And the one person we gave them to was C. Peter Wagner. And he called us up the next morning and he said, "That wasn't first fruits, that was the whole blooming field." But when you honor God, he blesses the rest. I don't know how he's doing what he's doing right now, but get ready. I know he's about to do some pretty amazing things. You are a part of the blessings that he's added to our lives over the past 37 years. And he's getting ready to take this fellowship to a place of greater grace and glory. So happy first fruits of Adar 5781. Go ahead, Ron. Now I want to proclaim some blessings over you. We're going to end with worship. But if you want to stand, which is usually what I do, because I'm going to proclaim these blessings, I'm going to declare these blessings over you for the month of Adar. And then I'm going to release you. So for those of you who are staying, there is refreshments in the fellowship hall. For those of you on the web, we can't mail them. I'm sorry. So I proclaim the blessings of Adar over you. The first fruits for Adar 5781. I declare this month you will turn your fear into laughter. That means you're going to turn your fear into laughter. It's a choice. I declare this month you will mature in greater measures of faith and faithfulness unto God and continue moving forward on the path to your destiny as you mature in your new identity as his son and his daughter. Get ready. There are doors opening for you that you've been hoping would open. He's going to tell you when to speak to them and watch them open. I declare as you honor God with your best, he will bless the rest, breaking every curse that has tried to consume you from your bloodline and through your finances. I say every curse will be broken, and the hold of the robbing spirit of destruction will no longer be able to afflict you through your bloodline. I declare as you remove any mask you have been hiding behind, you will enter into the true joy of who God created you to be. I encourage you to look into your mirror this month and speak the blessing of the Lord over you. The first one to hear your voice when you speak is your ears. The first one to feel the impact of the words are your lips and your lungs. Speak over yourself. I decree you will mature in the image and the likeness of God you were created to move in. Father, I bless your sons and daughters, and I send them this week to go and be productive in the places you've called them to prosper. I say they will prosper because their souls will prosper in the month of Adar. They will laugh in the face of their enemies. They will see your joy. They will experience your glory, and they will taste your goodness in measures they have not known before. Father, I send them to be your ambassadors, and I send them to reap the harvest that you set before them in Jesus' name. I love you all. As we end, I encourage you to enter in to what the Lord leads us into in worship. If you have a prayer need, you need healing, you need prayer, please come up and there'll be people up here to pray with you.
I'm going to end with a new one for you guys, but it seemed most fitting. Abraham, you're the God of covenant, of faithful promises. And time again, you have proven you do just what you said. One more time, say it. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, of faithful promises. And time again, you have into the setting, say my will, praise your name.
Great is your faithfulness. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for your promises that are in your word. And Father, I ask that you would give us the grace and the strength and the wisdom to trust you at your word. Lord, I pray that we would more extravagantly walk out the walk of faith that you expected of us as you've revealed to us your love and your glory. Lord, in all things, be glorified in your people, in your holy and mighty name. All God's people said. So before you put your mask on and exit, smile at your neighbor. Thank you for joining us in our living room. Be blessed, everybody. Amen.